It's a blessing to speak to you in the name of our loving, liberating, and life-giving God. Amen. How nervous the world in which we live, unsettled and unsure, waiting for the next shoe to drop. We get on with life, but the shadows cling to the corners like ghosts waiting to be noticed. We cannot control the reality we make. We do not have the ability to write the future, but we can find firm ground. We can regain our balance and know what peace of mind really feels like. We only have to trust in what we pray, overcoming the impulse to hoard our hope like heirlooms of a happier generation, being generous instead, giving our faith a chance to steady the earth and fill the night with stars. As I prayed our scriptures for today throughout the week, I was caught by verse 5 in our Genesis reading. In Abram's vision, God brought Abram outside and said, "Look toward the heaven and count the stars." And so I went back to this reflection I just read from Bishop Stephen Charleston, Indigenous First American Elder. Elder, retired Episcopal Bishop of Alaska, former Dean at Episcopal Divinity School, and author. His Facebook page offers spiritual reflections which are often, quite often really, relief for my aching soul and hope for my being. This particular reflection was published on his Facebook page in April. I needed it then and continue to look at it at times along the way of life in this precarious world we work so hard to navigate. In these days of violence, fear, hatred, bitter words, mistrust, escalating crime, prices, heat, flooding rains, drought. Well, you know the litany. I saved it when I first came across it, and I pray it often. We can regain our balance and know what peace of mind really feels like. We only have to trust in what we pray, overcoming the impulse to hoard our hope like heirlooms of a happier generation, being generous instead, giving our faith a chance to steady the earth and fill the night with stars. A favorite hymn of my dad's was Frederick Faber's Faith of Our Fathers, to which, when he sang it, I sang Ancestors, always receiving my dad's little wink. Do you recall the hymn? Do you recall its end? We will be true to thee till death. We will be true to thee till death. That's a courageous promise to make. Yet without our ability to be true, to trust God, where would our religious conviction take us? It is faith in the God revealed in the trust of our ancestors of faith, and for us as Christians revealed in Jesus Christ, matched with God's faith in God's people, that makes a divine human relationship possible. This is what the author of Hebrews is addressing when they write in chapter 11, verse 2, that by faith our ancestors received approval. Faith is a cord that binds us to God and God to us. So let's do a bit of biblical exegesis or critical interpretation of Scripture, shall we? This will be fun. Come on. The writer of Hebrews understands Abraham and Sarah's faith as settled relationship with God, writes commentator Scott McKnight. The roll call of the faithful in Hebrews 11 celebrates faith the way 1 Corinthians 13 celebrates love. There are numerous passages in preceding chapters of Hebrews that carry severe warnings to God's people who are lax in faith. So these words and the tone of Hebrews 11 is a welcome source of comfort and hope. McKnight writes, "What is faith then? Genuine faith is made up of various dimensions. Faith is an act of cognition, the faith we believe to be true. Faith is an act of volition, faith as an act of trust. And faith is also fidelity. And we don't choose which of these we prefer. Each are enfolded into the others, as we can see in Hebrews 11, 1 through 3, where the emphasis is on faith as an act of trust, as well as belief in the future kingdom of God, verse 1. Faith gives us eyes to see what might not be readily visible, verse 3. And as the chapter unfolds, we see faithfulness or fidelity as key to what faith means. So McKnight explains, in the Bible's storyline, Hebrews teaches those with faith stand above the others. Hence, in chapter 11, we read a whole litany of names moving from Abel to Samuel and the prophets. Now, sadly, without names, we hear of women, verse 35, and an assortment of others, verses 35b to 38. Each of these died before receiving what was promised. And this promise most likely refers to the fulfillment of the promises in Christ and the church, all leading to the heavenly Jerusalem, chapter 11, verses 39 to 40. And further on, because I know you're so interested in this now, chapter 12, verses 22 to 24. For Hebrews then, living faithfully before God now entails looking into the fullness of God's kingdom, not by way of diminishing human and social realities in the present, but by seeing through today's realities to deeper and more lasting realities. In other words, the future gives perspective on how to live now. Hebrews produces a virtual phenomenology of faith when the writer says that those who live by faith are those who let their future determine their present, verses 13 through 16. A theme arises to the future with power in Hebrews 11, namely, faith as fidelity or allegiance to God. And while faith requires some level of thoughtful agreement, faith in chapter 11 is about life expressing our faith. A whole life. All we are, what we do and say, what we believe, how we act, our whole life and being is meant to be expressed and lived out of faith, and not just a simple act of will to trust in God in Christ Jesus. The author of Hebrews doesn't focus so much on Abraham's faith, as we see in Genesis 15, verse 6 today, but the focus is on the various acts of faith in an allegiance to Yahweh, to God, throughout Abraham's life. And so faith means that Abraham obeyed, verse 8, stayed, verse 9, received power of procreation in his old age, verse 11, and offered up, verse 17, because he considered the fact that God is able even to raise someone from the dead, verse 19. These moments show us the theme of this chapter, that faith is an act of trust that leads to a life of trust. We are reminded in so many places in Scripture that faith in the Bible is multifaceted and entails fidelity to God. Faith leads into acts of faithfulness, or it simply is not genuine faith. Just as Hebrews exhorts us to faithfulness and praises the faithful heroes and even sometimes the sheroes of the past, so too Jesus summons his fellow Israelites to a radical discipleship, including generosity with possessions. Luke chapter 12, verses 32 to 33. And just like the teaching of faithfulness in Hebrews 11, so Jesus wants his followers to imagine a world in which God's people who are faithful are those who are found watching and waiting when Christ returns. Luke 12, 35 through 40. Those who have tended the marginalized, fed the hungry, clothed the naked, worked for justice, voted as though theirs and everyone's lives depend on it, those are the faithful. This emphasis on faith as keeping faith, as faithfulness, makes most sense in the Bible when we recognize the connection God makes with us, with humanity, in terms of a covenant. And the standard formula for the covenant is that God will be our God and we will be God's people. Genesis 17, 7 to 8, and various other books of the Hebrew Scriptures. Both sides of this formula matter. The divine initiative of grace and love, as well as the covenant formation, commitment, and inclusion, requiring our response of trust as faithfulness. To be in covenant by God's grace is to be covenanted to God, to trust God by faith, and to live faithfully with our whole lives. Dear ones, most of us know that there have been and are times in our lives when the promises of God seem so remote and at times even unbelievable. Times when our desperate prayers seem to go unanswered. We have reasons and seasons of doubt, apathy, times of deep challenge personally and communally. Challenge at the violence we see and hear of daily on our streets, across the country and the world. We hear voices of anger from people who claim to love as God loves. We see the toll of hatred and gun violence. We feel the very absence of the living out of our baptismal promises. And in the midst of all these and more you can name, we know from the reflection of the Word of Scripture and the lives of the faithful that God is steadfast, holding up the God-given end of this covenant and looking for us to do the same. We hear in this homily in Hebrews that faith is the settled conviction that the unseen God is real, and that while God often remains hidden from our sight and our touch, this God continues to uphold the world and to commune with us, with all of us, God's people. As Joshua Gibbs writes, the author of Hebrews, at least, does not seem to think of faith as a great leap into irrationality. For they speak of their congregation's faith as I speak of our congregation's faith, as a pledge or a down payment on future realities which include the beloved community, where hatred turns to love, where there is respect for the dignity of every life and all creation, where there is equity, justice, and mercy for all, and where swords and guns are truly all turned into plowshares. In other words, there is a strong correlation and overlap between faith and hope. The author of Hebrews is pleading with their audience, as I plead in Christ's love with you, to maintain faith in God, to endure in fidelity to God, even in the midst of our own sufferings, anger, and apathy, and to renew our hope in the promises and presence within us of the incarnate God, and in the many examples throughout Scripture and history of the endurance of faith, even in the face of suffering, and at times even death, trusting that God keeps God's promises, as we see over and over again through history, and in the everyday life of loving people that we know who are living out faith every day. We see God's promises kept through the eyes of our faith and the heart of hope all through history and all around us and within us. Faith is the cord that binds us to God and God to us. Dear friends, let us faithfully keep that cord strong, binding us to God and through God to one another, as we truly live in trust and faith and hope. We shall be true to thee till death. How nervous the world in which we live, unsettled and unsure, waiting for the next shoe to drop. We get on with life, but the shadows cling to the corners like ghosts waiting to be noticed. We cannot control the reality we make. We do not have the ability to write the future, but we can find firm ground. We can regain our balance and know what peace of mind really feels like. We only have to trust in what we pray. Overcome the impulse to hoard our hope like heirlooms of a happier generation, being generous instead, giving our faith a chance to steady the earth and fill the night with stars. We shall be true to thee till death. Amen.